Good evening and welcome to Radio EduTalk. This is David Noble in Dalgety Bay, and I'm delighted to have on the show this evening Sian Toner of the University of Dundee. Good evening, Sian.
Good evening. How are you?
I'm not bad, yeah. It's been another very busy and eventful day at school. Looking forward to hearing all about mobile tech this evening. Sian, could you just tell us a little bit about yourself? You're somebody who's got a long history in working with mobile tech. I suppose by long history we mean maybe the last sort of 10 years or so. So just give us an idea about the kind of work you did, back in the noughties, and what your present role is in at the university.
Okay, certainly. Well, I'd probably say that I used to work at the High School of Dundee as a primary teacher, and then I became the ICT coordinator at the school. And during that time, that's when we had mobile technology that was just mobile phones that were there. But I was very, very aware, and we were probably talking about 2006, that the children, as soon as they left the classrooms, mobile technology was the first thing that came out of their pocket. As they were doing the transition from one class to another, the mobile technology was there. But as soon as they came in the classroom, it went away. So I thought, well, how could I use this? Because at the time, they were just purely using it for talking and texting. So I then decided, okay, right, how can I use this in the classroom as a learning tool? And it was very, very basic at the time, using like the calculator function, using the camera to record assessments, the video part of the camera, so that then we could create e-portfolios from that. So that was back in 2006. But what I did find at the time is when I was asking the children that they can bring their own devices into the classroom then, that it was a very exclusive environment, because you had children that had, well, the iPhone when that came out, you had some children with that, but then you still had children with the Motorola, do you remember, with the green screen and just the little text that went across it? So with that, I felt that was rather an exclusive environment I was creating. So that's when I thought, I need to provide the technology in the classrooms to ensure that every learner had the opportunity to use a mobile device and to learn effectively from it. The other part why I wanted everyone to use the same device is from a teacher management and organisation part of it. Yet children know how to use their own devices. That's what they say for bring your own device. However, if you're teaching and you want to do something specific and people have different devices and maybe don't know how to do something, you don't want to waste the time working out the technology. You really just want to use the technology to enhance teaching and learning. So that's what happened whilst at the school, working on there. I then started being an ambassador for the British Council's eTwinning. And with there, it's all about connecting schools together in that part there. Whilst with the British Council, it's lovely. You get to go around Europe and that and go to conferences and meet lovely people. But I was in Tallinn. And whilst there, I am not someone who likes going around museums, etc. I do it in 10 minutes. So we were in an outdoor learning place. And again, that would normally take me 10 minutes to do that. But what they gave us was a mobile phone and a GPS device. Again, at the time, it wasn't integrated into the mobile device. And what you had to do was they would give you the longitude and latitude. You had to then go and find a specific place in this outdoor learning, and there would be a clue. So you had to interact with what was ever there and then text back whatever the solution was. If you were correct, then you were given the next location. It took me 3 hours to go down this place, and afterwards, the depth of knowledge that I had from there, I thought, how can I use this now with children so that we no longer had that kind of passive learning that happens when we're taking places? So here I go now to my job in the university, and we have like the Dundee Science Centre, the place of the Glasgow one, and the children that normally get taken there for their day trip, again, I've watched the children and they have a lovely time. They either get taken around or they get to explore themselves, and at the end of the day, you ask them, what did you learn today? Now, in the Science Centre, there's this big it's kind of like the inside of a nose, and it has chute that you can go down. And they'll say, I enjoyed going down the chute in the nose. They say, but what did you learn whilst you were there? And it's very passive. They can only tell you surface level things. So what I then did was put QR codes around the science centre. And it was a trail, so they would be told where to go. But at different parts, so they'd be using iPads, they either had to create a video advert, a video, an advertisement, or maybe create a quiz that would go onto this radio show using the facts that they found within there. On the journey home back to school, they were then using their iPads to create something. Ask them a month later, what did you learn at that science centre? The depth of knowledge and the retention that they had far exceeded the ones that were given this path of, you know, they were just allowed to explore the science centre themselves. So that's where I am. I'll not go on to the primary teachers until you ask me now.
Yeah, I'm just wondering, I'm guessing for the benefit of some of our listeners, then, can you just rewind a bit, Sian? Could you say a little of what a QR code is and how it works, I suppose, technologically, and then how it actually works in practice in the likes of a museum or science centre?
Certainly, right. So the QR code, standing for quick response, is these little square codes that many people probably see, but they ignore them. So like barcodes, and when you scan them, they will take you either to a website with information on it. So like on the back of Diet Coke, they would maybe scan it, and it would take you maybe to a competition or more about a product that was there. So that's, it's kind of, it was created for business, that part. But then, like everything, you know yourself, we then think, how can I use this in education? And it's used widely in education now. So with the QR codes, I use them in different ways in the classroom. It either be that, let's think of then, you have, so for differentiation, and we have a maths group, but they're all doing the same in maths, but you need to differentiate the outcome. So you might have then, in the books, a red QR code, a green one and a blue one for the different groups. The blue one then, when the person scans that, it's going to possibly give them even maybe a video tutorial for a little bit about the fractions that we're doing to help them with that part. But maybe the top group, it's taking them to more problem solving, something a little bit deeper that they have to do. In modern foreign languages, to support children there, so maybe let's say they're learning the days of the week. Now, I'm good at reading French, but I'm terrible at pronouncing it. However, if I'd had the opportunity like this where I'd scanned a QR code and I was able to listen again to the actual words being said, I think I would be better at my French. The other one is our classrooms. You know, primary teacher, we make wonderful classrooms. We put lovely displays on the wall. And it's like our houses, you know, beautiful wallpaper, and it's static. How can we get children to engage in the learning environment they're with? So let's say they're doing World War II, they have to display about that. There's a QR code there, and the children would scan it, and maybe they have to then go and find out more information. But each week, that same QR code, something different will be associated with it. So it keeps the children engaged in the learning environment they're within. Is that enough?
Yeah, that's great, Sian. I'll say at this point that if you are listening to the live show, over the next 20 minutes or so, you can get in touch by email or Twitter. The email address is edutalker, that's edutalkr, at hotmail.co.uk, or if you pop something up on Twitter and include the hashtag edutalk, then I'll be able to put your comment or question to Sian before 8:30 this evening. Now you've also excuse me, you've also posed a kind of couple of questions for listeners, Sian. But what we'll do at the moment is just read out the first one.
Okay.
You say passivity, surface level learning, socialisation problems, not in the virtual presence, limited attention span, multitasking with no knowledge retention. These are some of the words and phrases used to describe today's generation due to their increase in the use of technology, particularly mobile technology. Is this the case for listeners, and what can we do to change these perceptions into positive ones. So I'll allow listeners just to digest that for a moment, and feel free to get in touch with your own thoughts. I mean, I wonder where we're at. I mean, I've kind of ducked out in recent years, Sian. You know, there's been a lot of there still remains a lot of debate about bring your own device about, particularly mobile devices, and I suppose everything's kind of merged into tablets and mobiles, and we're not talking about necessarily about PCs and laptops now. Where do you feel we stand at the moment? And you know, I appreciate you won't have knowledge of all 32 local authorities, but are there pleasing aspects to practice in mobile tech across Scottish schools?
Regarding the bring your own device?
Or the other hot topics that we've been discussing for the last few years about mobile tech.
But regarding the bring your own device part, I mean, if we go and look at the statistics like Ofcom and Comscore that they're given, we still do not have a level playing field for all, that part there. So with it not being a level playing field where all children have access to a smartphone, so when we're saying mobile technology, so even an iPad, etc., how can we make that an inclusive environment for all? Also, an example of a research project where the children in a school, so if I'm not naming the school, but the children in school, they were given iPads, so they're actually given the iPads within there. But there is also the option in other parts of the school where, in upper stages, where they can bring their own device, so they can bring their own iPads if they want to. But part of the problem with the bring your own ones were things like memory and that. So a teacher would be saying, okay, I want you to use a specific app to do something. But that child, maybe when he was brought their own device, might have used up all their memory space, couldn't download the app. That then held up the class slightly whilst they deleted something and put the app on. Can you see where I'm coming from for that part?
Yeah, absolutely.
So if the technology is going to cause, it's taken me 10 minutes of a lesson and things like that, that's not effective use of technology. Teachers who know the technology is coming to classroom, they do not want it that they have to, you know, go and learn lots of new different things whilst they're already dealing with so many parts of the curriculum. Specifically in secondary school, where you'll have a very short time for the children, then the next class comes in. You can't waste time with technology. So giving the children technology, that is just my view, I would say, is I believe that it's a resource that should be there within the school, because I don't ask them to bring their hockey sticks in. I don't ask them to bring specific, you know, resources and books and that into school. So I believe that's the technology that we should give them. That's my view.
That's great. And Sian, I suppose I'm conscious of the time. I'm really keen in to this evening's show to hear about the mobile technology project that yourself and one of your colleagues has been working on with your new student intake into the university. So are you okay just launching straight into to giving us some idea about the background to the project and how it's worked in practice?
Certainly. So Professor Divya Jindal-Snape, a very good colleague of mine, what we looked at is a few years ago, I noticed that when the new students came to university in that first lecture, that they all sat like rabbits in headlights. So you can think, you know, the first years, that transition to university, I don't know many of the people I'm sitting with here. And yeah, it's a frightening experience for them. So I thought, how could I, you know, change that experience? And thinking about Catalan and the Science Centre, putting the QR codes around there, I put QR codes around campus in key locations that the students would have to be whilst on campus. So, for example, it would be the reception area where they would hand in their assignments, where they go to do their PE, specific lecture theatres they go to, the student union, that's very important. So they would be around campus, and the students would then go into their tutor groups. And I felt that was important, because they were going to be spending time over the year in that tutor group. So this was kind of first start of them bonding together in the group. They would then be, I kind of created it into a whodunit. So they would all start in the lecture theatre, and they would be taught, you have a problem, someone has stolen a key, one of the lecturers has a key for one of our inputs this afternoon, we have to find out who done it. I would then have four lecturers who were the suspects that they, when the students went to a specific place, they scanned this and a picture of the lecturer would come up and four facts about the lecturer. So it would be about their academic and a personal thing. So four facts came up. That then let them get to know four key members of staff by scanning this information. They then scanned the code to go to a new location, and at that location would be a QR code that was a witness statement, which was another member of staff. But this time when they scanned it, it would have, again, a picture of the member of staff, what their title and that was, but it would be an audio file of the actual person speaking. Now, the reason it was an audio file is I was trying to show the students that you can do so many different things with QR codes. It doesn't have to be text, picture. So we've got audio and video there. So we've got three suspects, and in their groups, they have to then work out who was the person that did the crime. By the time that they then came back to the lecture theatre, you could see that they were relaxed, they bonded together, the social skills that they were creating, it was a completely different atmosphere. So for the past 2 years, Debbie and I have worked together to look at this kind of transition to university and how this activity with the QR codes can help the transition that the students are going through. There we go. That's
it. That sounds fantastic. And so it's all about, there's kind of a problem to be solved. It's mm-hmm. fun. I suppose it's, well, not forcing, but it's kind of manufacturing an environment where people kind of need to interact, both in terms of the number of people that are interacting and the kind of the level of interaction. I mean, what kind of response have you had from the students, and have you actually conducted any research into it?
Yep, we started the research last year, and this is us just undergoing it on a slightly bigger scale this year. And what would then be telling of the response, students always love the activity, the postgraduate students. So they did this at the beginning of the course, but at the very end of the course at their programme board, was this is one of the things that they mentioned as a positive thing as part of the university. So to remember that, you know, quite a lot of months afterwards is very positive. The students, yep, they do say it helps them bond, socialisation. When I first started it, I used to give devices. So I gave out, you know, iPads and, you know, iPod touch devices. And then last year I thought, you know what, everyone has a device, you know, they're fine. But with postgrad students, feedback again was, I wasn't able to do it because my mobile phone didn't do it. I don't have Wi-Fi. I didn't have the app. And there was a lot of things many of them said they couldn't do. So I had to be very mindful of that this year, where I had devices available for those that didn't have it. But it ended up, you know, that we were okay, because within the group of eight, there would maybe be two or three that had a device. The key thing also between there, and we're talking about people use these devices and they become very individual and they're just focused on their own device, and that socialisation goes because they just have this virtual socialisation online. We can think about Facebook, etc. But I wanted to show them again, you could use the mobile technology, it could be one or two devices in a group, and it can create a social environment rather than an exclusive individual one. So that was the feedback. Another thing they had to do with feedback is I wanted to see transferable skills of how can they actually use this piece of technology in the classroom. And this year, the students have given lots of good ideas of being able to see, even though they've not been at school yet, how can I use this? If I were going into school and I had these devices, how could I now use mobile technology and QR codes effectively? There we go.
That's great. And a kind of theme through a lot of what you've been saying, Sian, over the last 15 minutes or so is about the technology being inclusive. And you've said that that maybe wasn't a feature, you know, back in the early days. But is it through working with colleagues or through research or reading of your own that you've come to have such a great concern over the use of technology, not excluding, you know, whether it's university students or primary pupils? Where is that kind of conscience come from that it can be a big issue? Is it just through your own experiences, or have you read research papers, etc., that have kind of problematized the use of technology in terms of the way it can exclude people?
It was then that kind of initial instinct. No, as a primary teacher, that we're just like, we want to create inclusive environments within there. Now, people kind of think, I was at a private school that I was teaching that all children would have specific things. But even within that environment, there is exclusion within there. So you don't have all children having devices. And actually, no, way back then when people were saying, do you remember mobile devices banned within schools, all the different things that came with it, sexting, the whole thing. And it was all the negative things that were there, that as soon as you come in, the mobile phone goes in the drawer if they brought it to school. But you and I were off the feeling with any piece of technology, if you had that instinct feeling, this could actually be used as an effective tool in the classroom, well, I'm going to use it and I'm going to work out how to actually embed into learning. Big thing that students come back to say when I say, right, this is what we can do, and what's the first thing they say? It's not in schools. How can we do this? It's not in schools. Don't even have Wi-Fi in some. But what, again, just again, like you and I, is you want them to be those future people thinking, well, eventually when it's there, I have that background knowledge to be able to implement it. The key thing is to implement it effectively, not just bolt it onto the classroom, that they're actually going to use it in a good pedagogical way. So, yes, inclusion is a high thing for me. Research papers, well, as I say, go to Ofcom and ComScore and you will find that we are still exclusive. And I don't think we should just look at UK, because the figures are showing, yes, more and more people are having mobile technology here. You do have to think worldwide. There's many, many places that do not have mobile technology. So how could then it be, you know, an exclusive international thing that we're doing rather than just this little pocket in Scotland?
Mm-hmm. And the students that you're working with, Sian, you know, they might be thinking about using QR codes. Of course, QR codes have been around for several years. Are they coming up with kind of fresh ideas? I mean, podcasting has been around and using video, so, you know, it is all very exciting, but... Has there been any examples of kind of fresh thinking or even innovative practice that they're champing at the bit to then use on their first placement? And also, which kind of curricular areas do you think, or do they think, lend themselves to using mobile tech?
Well, with the students at the moment, there's really not been the opportunity for them in the schools to do the mobile technology, because the technology in the schools that the majority have gone to hasn't been there. There has been some brave students that have maybe taken some of my devices out to school and used the technology whilst they're there. And with that, the key ones that they are using them for is maths, rather than maths, to do some differentiation there. They have also been using them in PE. So when I've had a student where they've been doing different circuits in stations, and at the stations would be the QR code. There. Now, you know, as a primary teacher, that you have to explain each of the different stations what they have to do, and then the children move and they forget what they were going to do at the next station. Well, what there was a QR code, and there was a video tutorial that was linking to at each one to explain exactly what the children had to do whilst they were there. So quite like that one that was doing there. Then had students who it was then going to be parents' evening, and the children had, so where the parents would be sitting outside with their kind of like all about me, what I've been learning posters, the children had, and there was then QR codes attached to them. They had left two devices outside the classroom because it's normally two parents that would be there. So there's two devices there, and the parents could use their own device if they wanted. So they were able to scan it, and there was a little video of the child. And what the child would be doing was talking about different things and showing things within the classroom of what they had been learning over the year. That was a good one.
Well, they're both fantastic examples, Shannon. You've given us so many great examples as to how technology is being used throughout the programme. And you know, just finally, what are you working on at the moment? Again, I'm interested in particularly kind of collaboration with colleagues, maybe in the university and wider afield. You know, what can we look for you to publish or talk about in the months and years to come?
Oh gosh. I don't know. No, seriously. Professor, well, just Divya. Divya and I obviously are working on the QR code project. And we're obviously now, as I say, taking it to a bigger level where we're comparing the postgrad students, postgrad primary and secondary, and the ME first year students, because they have completely different perspectives on things regarding transition. Because transition for postgrads, very different from the actual, you know, like your 18, 19-year-olds coming into university. So that's a big part of transition within there that we're looking at. And also looking at the technology aspect of the mobile devices, because that swings the other way, because the younger ones might be more competent and confident in using it. They might be more open to different things, rather than maybe slightly mature students. So again, it's going to be interesting. So we're in the middle of that. And hopefully by next year, something would be published with that. I'm on my doctorate studies. I've worked on a big project with a primary school who gave iPads to a primary class and a secondary class. And that's looking at perspectives and the pedagogy that goes around there. So I don't want to say any more about that.
No, of course.
I'm still working on that.
Yeah, absolutely. It's very, very interesting.
Working with this company, so with another colleague Elizabeth Hanna, we're working with this company called Giglets, who have the Learning Cloud. And the Learning Cloud is to do with our reading scheme and comprehension. So it could replace a reading scheme. It's online, so then you could look at use your mobile phone, computer, tablet device, whatever. But the books that they have, they could have one book and it's differentiated for each group, but it has interactive media within it. And it also has activities and that for the children to do, and the teacher obviously can track their learning. So looking at how that's an effective resource, the pedagogy, and again, seeing if it is encouraging children to engage more with the reading because of the mobile technology part of it. So great to work on that one there. And one that I'd work on completely different is magic tricks in computing. How to use magic card tricks to teach computing, logical thinking,
wow,
and sequential.
So very varied, but definitely placing yourself at the cutting edge as usual, Sharon. So that's brilliant. And the reading programme you were talking about there, is can listeners find out more information about that at the moment, or is it still kind of early days?
Still early days, but on the, what do you call it, I've given the links to Divya's profile page.
Yeah, and I'll put it up. That's
and
great.
That's where we would have things there.
Fantastic. I'll add that to the audio later on this evening. Just very final question, Sharon. I first met you way back when things were just kind of kicking off in terms of Web 2.0, etc. And I was thinking back as you were speaking there about, you know, kind of outdoor learning tasks that I was doing with, I don't even remember what the device was called, but it was kind of early GPS. And then suddenly these devices were obsolete, you know, we'd moved on where it was all kind of integrated. How do you feel things have kind of gone over the last 10 years? Have things developed at a pace and in terms of technology in ways that you expected? Or, you know, what have been the kind of surprises over the years? And also, what should we be looking out for? I know you're still very heavily involved with exploring QR, but what else might we be looking out for in the coming years in terms of, you know, technology within education?
I don't think it's moved at a huge fast rate. I wouldn't say that. I do think it's moved at a pace where people who can afford some things, I have been managing to keep up with that part there. And people are aware of what's out there. And we now have, again, it used to be like the digital natives and digital immigrants. I don't agree with that part there. Because the students that come into university, I used to think, yes, this is my digital natives. They will know how to do everything. And they didn't. And I still have that part there. So the technology, I think, has progressed at a rate that we're keeping up. But what's intrigued me just recently is I have my Apple Watch. And the Apple Watch, it's wonderful. Everything comes there. I can track so many things there. But the problem now that we're going to have in the classroom is that we're not in the virtual presence. There's too many people in this online presence. So that, to me, you're saying, what's going to happen? What are we going to look out for? I think you have to look out for children not being in the actual virtual presence. Because what they're always thinking about is, I've just sent a text to someone. Have they responding to it? I put something on Facebook. I wonder how many likes I have on that. I wonder if there's any comments on there. And they're always thinking, so even though the device is away, they're still not completely in this actual virtual presence with you. It even happens with ourselves. But now, because we have this wearable technology that's there, well, it keeps nudging on your wrist and so telling you that there's a message, there's a Facebook message. Yes, we can turn it off, but it's constantly a distraction. How do we actually manage these things? So is it now going to be that instead of putting your mobile phones in your bag, you're going to have to put your watches in your bag too?
Oh my goodness. I think that's a separate show or a series of shows. It'd be great to get you back on to explore that further, Shan. Listen, thank you so much for taking time out this evening, and I really appreciate you joining us, and hopefully we'll speak again sometime soon. Best wishes, Shan.
Okay, thank you very much for having me.